Simon & Schuster Audio presents The Whitechapel Fiend by Cassandra Clare and Maureen Johnson. Read by Luke Pasqualino.
"I spy," George said, "with my little eye, something that begins with S." "It's slime, isn't it?" Simon said. He was lying on his back in the cot in his dorm room. His roommate, George, was lying on the opposite cot. Both of them were staring up thoughtfully into the darkness, which involved staring at the ceiling, which was unfortunate because the ceiling was gross.
"It's always slime."
"Not so," George said. "One time it was mold." "I'm not sure we can really make the distinction between slime and mold, and I hate that I have to care about that." "It wasn't slime anyway." Simon considered for a moment. "Is it a snake? Please tell me it's not a snake." He curled up his legs involuntarily. "It's not a snake, but now that's all I'll be able to think about. Are there snakes in Idris? It seems like the kind of place where they dry the snakes out."
"Isn't that Ireland?"
Simon said. "I don't think there are limitations on snake driving. Surely they got rid of the snakes. Must have done." "Oh, God. This place has to have snakes." There was a faint tremor to George's soft Scottish burr now.
"Are there raccoons here in Idris?"
Simon said, trying to change the subject. He adjusted himself on the hard, narrow bed. There was no point in adjusting. Every position was just as uncomfortable as the last.
"We have raccoons in New York. They can get in anywhere. They can open doors. I read online that they even know how to use keys."
"I don't like snakes. Snakes don't need keys." Simon paused for a moment to recognize the fact that "Snakes Don't Need Keys" was a good album name. It sounded deep for a second, but then completely shallow and obvious, which made you go back to the first thought and think it might be deep.
"So what was it?" Simon asked.
"What was what? What did you spy that begins with S?"
"Simon."
This was the kind of game you played when you lived in a sparsely decorated room located in the basement of the Shadowhunter Academy. Or, as they had started to refer to it, the floor of ultimate moisture. George had commented many times on how it was a shame they weren't slugs, because it was perfectly set up for the slug lifestyle. They had come to an uneasy acceptance of the fact that many creatures had made the academy their home after it was closed down. They no longer panicked when they heard skittering noises in the wall or under the bed. If the noises were in the bed, they allowed themselves some panic. This had happened more than once. In theory, the mundanes, or dregs as they were sometimes often called, were down in the basement because it was the most secure floor. Simon was sure there was probably some truth to that. But there was probably a lot more truth to the fact that the Shadowhunters tended to have a natural snobbery that ran in the blood. But Simon had asked to be here, both with the dregs and in the Shadowhunter Academy itself, so there was no point in complaining. With no Wi-Fi, no phones, no television, nights could be long. Once the lights went out, Simon and George often talked to each other across the darkness like this. Sometimes they lay in their respective beds in a companionable silence, each knowing the other was there. It was something. It was everything, really, just to have George in the room. Simon wasn't sure if he would be able to bear it otherwise. And it wasn't just the cold or the rats or anything else about the place physically. It was what was in his head, the ever-increasing noises, slices of memories. They came to him like bits of forgotten songs, tunes he couldn't place. There were remembrances of tremendous joys and fears, but he couldn't often connect them to the events of people. They were just feelings, batting him around in the dark.
"Do you ever notice," George said, "how even the blankets feel wet when you know they're dry? And I come from Scotland, I know wool. I know sheep, but this wool, there's something demonic about this wool. I cut my knuckles on it making the bed the other morning."
Simon hmmed a reply. There was no need for any real attention. He and George had these same conversations every night. The slime and the mould and the creatures in the walls and the rough blankets and the cold. Every night these were the topics. Simon's thoughts drifted. He had two visitors recently, and neither of the visits had gone well. Isabel and Clary, two of the most important people in his life as far as he could tell, had both come to the academy. Isabel had appeared to stake her claim on Simon.